Yud Beis Kislev, Monday the 12th of December, Rebbe Dudu Rosenberg, split personalities, split names. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Shendel Ruchama Bas Nisanel by her sons on her yacht site.
Right, we start with a observation from the Rav Shitzeruv, and he mentioned that once when he was asked, what does a person do when he finds that he is faced with a problem of a man or somebody else giving him ein hara? So let's picture the scenario. You have two neighbors, and one's pulling up in his house with his new Maserati Gran Turismo with cream leather seats, and the other one is just looking over the fence as he's doing the lawn, and the eyes are green with envy, and he feels at this moment of time that something is not right with the way his neighbor is looking at him. So the Rav Shitzeruv says at this point, the person who is on the recipient of thine horror would raise his eyes heavenward, look upwards, and this would be somehow an antidote for the ein hara. Now, it's hocus pocus, yeah? But what does it really mean? So the explanation of it is that it's a simple depth, and when a person is matl ein hara and somebody else, he essentially, there's a tzinor, a pipe, which constantly showers that person from above with a spur from the Rabbein Shlomo, as long as he's remembered that he's connected. The moment that the other person is matl ein hara in him, he severs that, because the person says, you know why this guy's such a gorgeous car? Because he's so astute and he's so skilled in business and he earns more money than me. If I was clever like him, or I was as shrewd as him, I would have the capacity to earn like he does. I too would drive such a car, which is absolute kfire. But in essence, the looking up, when a person looks up towards heaven at this point, he rejoins, he reconnects, and he remembers where did all this hashpur come from. It came from the Rebbein Shlolem. I am connecting, I am remembering where the source is from, who is bringing the shefa, who is pouring the brucha down the tzinoy, and therefore that, by the Rav Shitzeruv, is not a hocus pocus, but there's a meaning behind it, that looking upwards reconnects. We'll carry this on to this week's header, because here Yaakov Avinu meets Esav in what we call the grand encounter. This encounter where he comes and it says the pusik vayisros einav Yaakov raises his eyes vayas anushem vayisayludim, and he says mi eile loch, I see camels and I see cows, I see cattle, I see so much wealth coming towards me. And then I see the families and the children. And Rashi points out, Mi eile loch, mi eile lios shelchu, vi kimtes tzidia so viel, how come you've got all this? And the young Kavavini answers out to him, Yushudu ha-yelude ma-shechun ha-nelekim es-avdecho. Esav, with the koich of Ein Hora, wanted to disconnect Yaakov. So he said to him, how comes you've got all this abundance? Mi eile loch? And Yaakov Avinu answers him, Ayeludim ha-shechun ha-nelekim. That really, I remember where it comes from. Where's the source? Where's the ba'ah? Where's the where's this, all this blessing come from? And with that, he reconnects himself to the Rabbein Shlomo. Now, it's worth noting, because this is the crux of the matter, that the word mi eile is the word of Elohim, but happens to be split into two. It's the same letters. So when Esau said mi eile, he split Elohim into two, which means I want to sever you from your source, because I, after all, have got a question, how come you got all this money? And Yaakov in response said, Hailudin mashechun en Elohim. He took the mi eile and he bound it together again, and he remembered that it's Elohim. Therefore, he reconnected to source. We take the same idea. This was by the Kaddishah Tzion of Bobber. And now I thought perhaps it could be interpreted as well in the same vein in Parshas Vayechi. Because there it says, Vayayis ueles b'nei Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe are coming towards Yaakov Avinu. And he looks at them and he says, Mi eile? Who are these children? And Rashi points out, Mi eile she'einem ri'im lebrucha. At this point, Medrush Chazal fill us in that there's something missing here. Yaakov Vinyus was nistalkum mimene rich hakodesh. He felt that the sanctity had left him. The spirit of the Rebbein Shlomo was no longer there. And he asked, how come that this is the case? So Yosef said to his father, Idavund, and he asked that the Rebbein Shlomo should be machzir the rich hakodesh to him, and that the sanctity should flow again. And he said, Bunai haima shenustin yolikim bozeh, vayoyim haikuchem nu alai vavorochem. So from the Mi Eile, which Yaakov ostensibly pointed out that he felt that the Kedisha was waning, it was draining from him, and he's not got what he has, which would be the normal Rech HaKodesh to bless them, he took the Mi Eile Yosef and he said to him, Hayludim Ashenusan, Bunai Haim Ashenusan Li Elokim Bozeh. So the Mi Eile became again Elokim, bound together and united. Now, I don't want to ponder on the Ein Hore element of it, but I do want to speak about the splitting of the name and the split and to understand perhaps from a different angle where Esav is coming from and the disparity between Esav and Yaakov. So let's start with the understanding in greater depth what is actually the disparity between Yaakov and Esav. In kids in school they sketch the picture of Esav. It's always the arch rogue, the man who is all bad, and there's really nothing finite to describe him with any redeeming factor. And on the face of it, is that actually so? Was he entirely all bad? Was he a koifer be'ike? Or maybe not. Maybe it's a fallacy to think that Esav epitomized the denial of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll give you 6 proofs here to show you that Esav actually did believe in God. First of all, he would never have cried bitter tears over losing Yitzchok Avinu's blessings, because if you don't believe in it, then why are you crying about it? Yeah. Another one, he would not be Moise Nefesh on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em. If he respected his father, he would have gone along the normal lines like Dovun Ben Asino or others. But to be Maflik himself, that Chazal actually say this is the most outstanding display of honoring your father, who could reach Esav, shows that there's something a little bit more than that, that there's a belief that there's a mitzvah here which he wanted to attach himself to. Third raya. What's he so bent about being buried in Moulas HaMachpelo? Could be cremated, and who blamed? Why did he have to be buried in the Moulas HaMachpelo? What does it mean to him? I noticed that his head is buried in Moulas HaMachpelo. That also has a very deep meaning to it. Although the rest of him, the lower part of his body, did not warrant to get there. Another raya. Beginning of this week's Seder. He comes towards Yaakov, and Yaakov comes towards him. Yaakov says, "Imluvon garti v'tari yag mitzvah shemarti." It's Esav. Remember, I was in Luvon's house, but I kept 613 mitzvahs. Esav says, "Who cares? So what? Big deal. Ostergehalt." Elomai, that he knew that when he says v'tari mitzvah shemarti, that there is something that is going to make some impression on Esav after all. The Medrash Rabbah says at this point that when he Alkein ruisi punechu kir ois pnei elekim, this was after the encounter with the Malach of the Sarah Shel Esav. So the Medrash says these words: Uma Esav v'rushu higiyo hakudosh baruch hu lekubet hazeh. The fact that my brother merited to meet the angel of God, fought him and beat him. Shiv eino yuchoy loya. Why? Ki giyah hakudosh baruch hu lekubet hazeh. It seems to be that he's aware that the Ribbono Shel Olam was mechabed Yaakov in the way that he helped him to overcome this malach. So therefore, shiv eino yuchoy loya. I'm not able to beat him. I'm not able to win him in war, and therefore he desisted. That indicates that somebody that does have some sort of a belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then again, 2 weeks ago, the famous Esav comes from the field and he says, "Hinei unoichi hoylech lumis." Avoid is not going to stay with me anyway. It's going to be taken away from the Bechayrim. It's going to be given to the Leviim. So many problems associated with it. I'm going to have to give up my booze because of working in the Beis HaMikdash, because you're not allowed to drink there. Who needs all this? But it's not for me. There's too many problems involved. Why do you have to say that? Just say, what does Bechayra mean to me? I don't believe in all this. But it's not the case. There seems to be an ambivalence here. There is a Bechayra, but it's a little bit too complex for me. And I am not going to be associated if it means I have to give up the bottle. So if you don't believe in God, what's the Havamina? Elomai, clearly Esav is not in denial of a creator of the world. So let's make a hanukha here. Let's try to make two possibilities of what actually was the essence of Esav. Either Esav believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, but he also believes that he too has an input. As a man doma, he governs his destiny as well. It's not only God. Or Esav believes in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he can't control his passions. He's got a huge yetzer hara. He's got enormous tavas, and they get the better of him. So we've got those two mahalchim, and we're going to explore the two ways, and perhaps bring raya to both. First, we said what Esav believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. But he too also has an input. We know Elokim is the Gematria HaTeva, it's 86. Nature and the Ribbono Shel Olam is all one. Every leaf, every bird, every grass, a blade of grass that there is in the field. Esav doesn't like this Elokim being governing the Teva. So as we explained before, this is split. Esav has a habit of splitting Shemus. He's not comfortable with it. Because that means a complete subjugation to a creator. He says, I'm also a man, du Umma. Ich hab auch was zu sagen. So therefore, Esav is the Ishsude. Ishsude is freedom, the hunter, the man who takes the animals under his domain, takes their lives at whim. And more than that, Ishsude is always somebody who's associated with the field in Yiddish. Vision is something that has got to do with an agriculturist associated with the field. He plants, he reaps, and he prunes, and he's busy with the field, and comes finally the crop, and he says, "Koichi voitzim yudiusir esachay lazeh." So what do we have to combat that? So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael mitzvahs like Bikurim to remember where it really comes from, first fruits, mitzvah Shmita. To ingrain in us the asuga that there is, in essence, a mitzvah of recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes things grow, not you, Mr. Agriculture. So our Ish Sude is somebody who governs his own destiny, and he realizes the fruits of his labor. Then we've got the idea of Yesh Li Rov and Yesh Li Koil, the great dichotomy of the two, of Esav, who says he has plenty, he's got loads. And this, it's pivotal to his philosophy to accumulate more and more stuff, more and more articles. But with the Yesh Li Rov, he never reaches a point of satiation. It will never be filled because of the Yesh Li Emunah Roitzeh Mosaim syndrome. Yaakov has got the Yesh Li Koil. Even he has little, he has hardly anything, he has everything. You know why? Because he believes that if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to have more, he would have more. But if you don't believe that, and you believe that you govern, and you are the one that forges the way in earning, then that's the Yesh Li Rov syndrome. And I'm saying I, and not the proverbial we, are all guilty. I'm guilty of this too. We go to business, and everybody's got a little bit of Eisav in him. We are going to help God help us earn money. Like the Chofetz Chaim describes, this huge locomotive with 12 massive carriages, and the train is steaming along, and behind it stands a little man, and he's helping to push the locomotives. He's helping to push so they should get up the hill. That's exactly what it looks like when a person thinks that he's got an input in business and they're making profit. He's going to help the Rebbein Shloimeh make panusa for him. So there, those three ideas which we mentioned now go along with the idea that Esav believes the Rebbein Shloimeh runs the world, but he also has an input into this world. Now we'll go to the second one which we said. Esav believes in the Rebbein Shloimeh, but he can't control his passions or his desires. He's overwhelmed and he's overcome with this huge acts of horror and with this tavas. He believes, but he needs to eat on impulse. Just pour it down my throat. I'm hungry, I'm starving. I need it now, now. He steals women from their husbands and he has an insatiable need for money. Yaakov is born mohur, gemalat. Esav, according to Chazal, he remains a Url until the end of his life. He started off as ruddy, they thought it was dangerous to mala him, in the end he was old enough to reject it, but the bottom line is, he was not gemalat. The Ois Bris, according to the Chinuch, means that the Bris is essentially a badge worn by every Yid to say, I am an Eved Hashem. I've got a sign to show it. It's Ois Bris, Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem with Esav, they don't reconcile. Because he's not an Eved Hashem. He can't subjugate himself to that. Esav's passions control his destiny. To that point, we should mention that Amulek, who is the Einikel of Esav Arusha, it says there, Vaizanaiv Bechu kol anachashu lemacharecho. Vaizanaiv Bechu means that Zoyrek Orlus Lemala, he was desecrating the Ois Bris for that very reason, because he, with Ois Bris, is antagonistic, they don't work together, and he made a display of this. Now I'll just mention an interesting Medrash. Medrash says, Vayoyme Esav Beliboy. Esav said in his heart, Uma Rabluze ben Yosi, Uma Nuvol Beliboy, which is a pusik in Tehillim, Uma Nuvol Beliboy. And another one, Vayoyme Homon Beliboy in Megillas Esther. So the Medrash draws a parallel between all of them. Harashuim Birshis Libon. Rishuim, evil ones, are ruled by their passions. Avol tzadikim, libon bershison. But the tzadik is different. He is in control of his heart. He is in control and shoylet on his passions. It's written, it says the Medrash, v'chano hi medaberes al libon. She speaks to her heart. She is in control of her heart. V'yoymed duvid el liboy. And other illustrations by the Medrash, to note the difference and the distinction between the two. But the bottom line is, this is a perfect raya to show that Esav succumbs to his passions. He is Bereshis Liboy, as we mentioned before. So in essence, Esav believes in God. He recognizes there are spiritual realms. He can cry bitter tears about losing his b'chayre, and he says to his father, "Habruchu achas hi lechu uvi? Is there only one blessing left to you, my dear father?" That means that he attaches a value to those bruchas, but it doesn't preclude him from entering the shiva from his zayd avuam, and on the very same day, having molested a naro amaruso, a girl who was just engaged to get married, from murdering Nimrod and coming into the room with his hands dripping blood, selling his bechorah for a bowl of beans. So we have here a split personality. He's vacillating between his yaitzahara, his tavas, But at the same time, there's an awareness that really someone else's control appears to be a split personality. Since we're on this, the subject of the splitting, we'll go digress just a little bit further. When we speak about the names, as we started about, with Elohim and Mi'ele. Gemur steigt. Gemur says, Ish fi ishu shchina shriye benayim. Typical Sheva Bruches opening for a drusha. There's a yid in the man's name, hey, and the woman's name together, it makes ka. But everybody asks, what happened to the Vuv K? The Rebbein Shlomo's name is Yid K Vuv K. So the Vilna Gaon says that the Vuv He is in the Ksibbe. Because Ksibbe means Ksav Vuv He. Add that. And then you come to the complete name, and that's why a woman and a man should not sojourn under the same roof if they haven't got the Ksibbe, because the Rebbein Shlomo would be absent from the abode. And therefore, Yid Kei Vuv Kei has got to go completely in order for them to live. That's why Pilakshim are not full wives, because they don't get exhibit. So Pilakshim really means Plag Shem, only half a name. They've got the Yid Kei, because that's the physical part, but they haven't got the Vuv Kei. So therefore, you've only got Plag Shem. The Rishne, the Heilige Rishne, goes even further and famously says that the Yud K part of the Rebbein Shlomo's name is there and present in physical pursuits. You've got Achile, Yud K, Shtie, Yud K, Sheino, sleeping, Halicho, Bier. In case you ask me why Tfile has also got a Yud K, so you'll say because it's a chai shur. You spend 18 bruchos davening only for your own needs. Primarily, you're asking for ayni bruch, olayni, all the things which you need. And some people are meramos that tfilo oise mechze, that you've got part of it, that you've got only the yid ke. But the spiritual pursuits are always vuv hei. So teure is vuv hei. Avoide has got the vuv hei. Mitzvah has got the vuv hei. There is, time is running short, but there is a thought from the Balatanya which says, I think that the Yid is the Pintele Yid, that's unchangeable. But that's the physical. So whatever happens to the person will never be able to eradicate that Pintele Yid. The Vuv is taking the Yid and drawing it down to this world. Taking the Yid and extending it. So therefore you bring from the realm of the spirituality into the physicality of this world. But we won't go into that because it's a shviz on its own. But when we say Yoim Hashishi Vachile Hashmaim, again you've got the Yid Kei Vuv Kei. So Yoim Hashishi is Yid Kei, belongs to the 6 days of creation. The Vuv Hei is Vachile Hashmaim Beuretz Yoim Hashishi Vachile Hashmaim. So you've got the Vuv Hei is the Shabbos. So the first part is purely physical. The second part is the entry into Shabbos. The Yoim Hashishi, the 6 days of the week. Vechil HaShemayim is the referring to the Shabbos. It's up to us to synthesize the two of them. Now, it's worthwhile taking another look of where we started. Because in Parshas Vayechi, where we mentioned Yaakov Avini having met the two children of Yosef HaTzadik, and he sees Ephraim and Menashe, it says that the Riach HaKodesh departed from Yaakov. And he asks his son, "Mi eile she'enem riim lebruche," and therefore he felt there was some sort of a spiritual deficiency here, which he noted and he detected. Really, it was because there were descendants like Yerovam ben Avot and Yehu, but Yosef HaTzadik understood what he was alluding to, and he says, "Buna ihaim ashenusa ni elekim buze." So Rashi says, "Heru lo ishtak sibbe." In case you think that it's only the Yid Kei, no, no. The Vuv Kei is also there. These children are born in purity. And then Yaakov said, "Kuchem nu alai v'avorchem," in which case, bring them close to me, and I'll be able to bless them.
Ephraim's got a Yud, and Menashe got a Hey.
Oh, sehr schein. Och, very nice. Ephraim's got a Yid, and Menashe's got a Hey. So between the two of them, you've got the Yid Hey. Okay, but now you've got something further. Hayeludim, which is going back to Al Seder again.
Mi Eile is also Yud Mi and Eile Hem Eile.
That's so you got like this. You got, it says, Hayeludim Ashechunan Elekim Buzeh. Going back to where we were in this week's Seder. Ashechunan Elekim, there's an acronym of Chunan. Chunan, Chofetz Chaim says, is Chalo, Nido, Ner. And those things are three titles, again bringing spirituality to physical world. Here is Yaakov saying to Esau, Chalo, I'm bringing you into introduction that there is sanctity between by eating and drinking, that there's a way you can elevate that too. Nida is an abstention and an elevation through Taharas HaMishpucha. And Ne'er, recognizing the onset of Shabbos, again, that we testify to the Rebbein Shalom having created this world. And so he says to Esau that you should know that this is Hayeludim Ashechuna Nelekeim Esavdechu. You want to see this, all this, the wives and the children, everything, all this has got to do with the way of serving the Rebbein Shalom through Chuna, through all the things where one can make something physical and elevate it to something spiritual. Just on the subject of Ne'er, because we're coming towards Chanukah, the Maral explains that Ne'er is the perfect symbol of a candle, which shows you the synthesis of Gashmis and Rochnias. You take oil, you take wax, and there's a small wick which turns the Gashmis into Rochnias, into the flame, which is intangible. The oil is something which you can actually feel and touch. And that shows you that Chanukah, which is based around the Indian of the flame, is a purely Rochniastika Yontef. And it's not it turns the Gashmis into Rochnias. That's why you have Sidus Mitzvah, which you turn to Shiras and Mishpuchas into a Sidus Mitzvah. Okay, so let's conclude now about the split in the Shem. Esav severs Elikim, like we said before, to me, Eile, and splits it down the middle. He wants to achieve disconnection, to disassociate from the Yidkei. And definitely from the Vufke, which is the spiritual. Amulek, which are Esau's descendants, they're also in the business of splitting names. Because of the famous Gemara, Ein Shemoi Shel HaKudosh Baruch Hu Shulem Ad Sheyimuche Shemoi Shel Amulek. Because it says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, then you've got again, the Ka is incomplete. You're missing the Vufke, and the Kisse of the Rebbein Shalom is missing the Aleph. And there, the Vuvhei, which according to which we explained to the Rishne, is the spiritual element of the Rebbein Shalom's name, the Vuvhei, that is missing until the destruction of Amulek. And on Shabbos, I saw one vertel from the Malbim, which sums up in a synopsis the whole idea. Vayisu Esav es Eino, Vayas Anushim es Hayeludim. Vayoyimem mi Eilelo. Esav picks up his eyes, he sees the women and the children, and he says to Yaakov, who are these to you? And Yaakov says, Hayeludim Ashechunan Elikim Esavdecho. The Ramban also asked the Kasha, but the Malbim says he asked him about his wives and the women. And then he answers him only about the children. So the Malbim says, Esav says to Yaakov, "Mi eleloch? 1 minute. Four wives, women. That's my line. That's not something you should be running after. Di bist doch der tzaddik. I look for gratification, not you. Something is not right here." Yaakov doesn't respond to the women. He just says, "Hayeludim ashechunan elekim." You missed the point, my brother. Some of us get married without any other agenda other than establishing Shiftei Koh. And that was the message from Yaakov to Esav. So we ask for Uli Moshiim Bar Tzion, Lishvoit Esar Esav, V'hoisu L'Hashem Hamlichu, and at that point, V'hoyu Hashem L'melech Al Kol Uretz, V'yoymahi Yiyah Hashem Echod, Ushmoy Echot, that the name of the Rebbein Shalom will become complete again.